Welcome back into the show. Dominic Jimenez here. Very excited to welcome in my next guest. You know him from Last Man Standing, The Santa Claus, Toy Story, Galaxy Quest. You've also seen him do stand-up, and that's because it is actor, comedian, slash icon, Tim Allen, and he's heading back out on the road with his stand-up comedy right as the new year rolls around. You can check him out January 6th at the Hard Rock Live in Hollywood, Florida, January 7th at the Dr. Phillips Center for the Performing Arts in Orlando, Florida, January 8th at the Moran Theater in Jacksonville, and if you're going to be in Vegas, February 4th and 5th at the Mirage. And Tim, we'll get to the stand-up and your career in just a moment, but you're a huge Detroit Lions fan. Have you recovered from the emotional high of that first win of the season on Sunday?
Boy, that sentence just that makes no sense to me whatsoever. It's like to a long-suffering Lions fan. It was such a shock because it just doesn't work that way. We generally would have fumbled on that play. So yes, it's sad to say that the first victory of the season means anything. It was just a rare feeling for a Detroit fan to have a game come out like that. Bearing in mind that if you open up this door and we'd have an hour to talk, I've got every fact, every detail about football you don't want to have the Lions have in their history. You know, most punts in a quarter. Shortest punt, most penalties. I think it was illegal biting was the only penalty. They had an illegal biting penalty in an end zone that we lost another one. The Calvin Johnson rule, it goes on and on. And to see that game, I'm disappointed to be a Lions fan because it's been such a tough year, that to watch those guys and to come around and make it so. Yeah, that was a great deal. The weirdest one was the tie with the Steelers.
Yeah, that one, I think that was, if I was a Lions fan, I would have taken that as a win. And you mentioned an illegal biting. I didn't know that there was such thing as legal biting in football, so how about that?
Oh, yeah, sure, there's legal biting. Yeah, you've seen the Cowboys play.
Yeah, that's fair. I'm also in the Bay Area, so I've seen the Raiders play, too. We're actually going to have Herman Moore on later, so it's actually hasn't all been bad for the Lions. There have been some icons that have come through
and
represented Detroit well.
I was a kid watching Mike Lucci and Alex Karras. The name slips. He was a return punts all the time, and he'd let the ball land on the ground, and he'd wait, and everybody wait, and he'd just all of a sudden pick it up. He wouldn't call a fair catch. He'd let it bounce, and and then Barry Sanders, amazing player. They've had a whole bunch of amazing players. I think Matt Stafford moved on to the Rams, of course, is an amazing player.
Yeah, Matt Stafford, I love him. And now that he's in the same division as my 49ers, I can't say I love Matt Stafford anymore. But that's so we've been talking about the Detroit Lions getting their first win, but Tim is here to talk about getting back out on the road with his stand-up comedy. I mentioned the three shows, January 6th, 7th, and 8th, all across Florida. How are you able to come up with a set and refine it during the pandemic? Because I know, speaking with a lot of comedians, that it's all about getting the set out there and refining it kind of on the fly. And with so many venues and stuff closed, how are you able to put together a new set?
To be fair, I've been on the road literally. I took a break for about 4 or 5 years when I did the last Home Improvement many years ago. I did like 3 movies in a row, wrote a book, blah, 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 and I just didn't have time. So I got off the road for about 4 years, rebooted that for doing mostly hosting stuff, charity appearances. Then I got back at my regular stand-up probably 15 years ago, and then I was been back on the road off and on in Vegas. So before the pandemic, I'd had my routine, as I call it, back down. The virus, as my neighbor called it. No, my neighbor calls it that itch. Did you get that itch? I said, I don't think it's called an itch. She goes, well, something about an itch. And I did have my regular set is now just expanded a bit as I sat home and did most of this goofing around between writers on Zoom and however else we did this. It's adapted a bit and politics have changed. I make fun of politics in general because I'm mostly a comedian, so both angles of the politics are fun to me. Mm-hmm. That's changed, of course, and of course with this virus. And it's been this woke generation, it's very delicate, and I'm a old Lenny Bruce fan and prior, people that push buttons a long time ago, so I've had to adapt a little bit. And a lot of it is, look, if you don't like it, then you don't have to come see it. I don't like pushing people's buttons to make them mad. Generally, it was life-changing experience to hear. It wasn't around for Lenny Bruce. His 1961 bit at, I think, the Purple Onion or something in New York City. It's on, you can YouTube it. And it's amazing what comedy can do about clarification. And I happen to be a funny person, so to clarify what people think and feel, then generally I talk about my family growing up with there was 9 of us, and growing up in a family raised by women, my whole bit has always been about how amazed I am, fascinated, frightened, and attracted to women, and how that whole relationship is this world. And I said, nothing much has changed. What's really changed now is I have to tiptoe around certain subjects and have to explain to the audience as though they're 8-year-olds sometimes. I don't mean anything by this. This is a way to get to something else. And this generation right now, you say something and people look around. And I said, no, that's not what I meant by that. And this is it's not catastrophic. You see Chappelle going through this on a larger level. I'm not that provocative, because I said most of my material is insightful stuff from my point of view about relationships. And I said it goes deep, relationships between us and our environment, relationships between us and material things and emotional stuff. And this sounds like a philosophy, and it's really not. It's comedy. I make jokes at people's funerals. That's what I was trying to get at. Sometimes I'm just inappropriate. That's what comedy is to me. It pushes buttons.
No, it definitely does. And I think it's so funny being here in San Francisco. I think I have to agree with you that sometimes people go to comedy shows looking to be offended. And if you're going to a comedy show, I think that's one of the places you should not look for something to be offended about. So
no, and my life in comedy, I saw Pryor live, and essentially what Richard Pryor did that night, and some of the other comics I saw as a kid, is he changed my life because I laughed so hard. And that physicality of laughter, period. I don't care what I was laughing at. I end up loving the man that I was watching up on stage. And anything he said was clear now. Whether I agreed with it or not, it was funny. It's just funny. Once you open up the funny gland, you accept it. There's an acceptance with comedy, and there's an mm-hmm. acceptance. And I get it. And I think sometimes people nowadays are not willing to let go. And that's my job, is to let you let go. It's really just a gift I get to give, is laughter. I got it once at a concert in Detroit at the Fox Theater from Richard Pryor. And I said, if I could, I wanted to do that the rest of my life, because I had such a change of heart in my life. I said that everything was funny that he said, and the stuff he said, some of it didn't understand. However, that's what I love to do about comedy. It's more of a gift to me to make people laugh than it's almost a zero-sum game.
We're speaking with actor and comedian Tim L, and he's heading out back on the road once the new year rolls around. January 6th at the Hard Rock Live in Hollywood, Florida. This January 7th at the Dr. Phillips Center for the Performing Arts in Orlando, Florida. January 8th at the Moran Theater in Jacksonville, Florida. And anybody who's listening on KSHP in Vegas, Tim will be in Vegas February 4th and 5th at the Mirage. Tim, you have a lengthy list of credits. Have you ever found yourself, you know, flipping the channels late at night and you come across something that you were in and you completely forgot you were in it?
I think the lately it's been some of the early stuff. I said, the Christmas with the Cranks, I forgot all about that experience. It was especially during the holiday season, it was so close to me doing Santa Claus. It seemed to be even to me, an odd choice to be playing in a Christmas movie and not be doing Saint Nick. And it reminds me, it just transitions into Sigourney Weaver, who was in Galaxy Quest, was, you know, Ripley in Alien. Then she does this parody, not even an homage movie, Galaxy Quest, to being in a space movie. And I always admired that she did that. And she, if I have one job to do in this movie, and I fold into that. If Galaxy Quest comes on, it's on the opposite of what you just said. I remember every detail, and so many details about that movie, because every moment in that was a pleasure. And I said some of the Big Trouble, which we shot in Miami, and it came out very close to 9/11. And so it kind of disappeared. And when I watch it, it goes, that was, Dave Barry wrote that. It was a marvelous script, great cast, and really an interesting movie. And again, I've almost forgotten about it, and only because it came out at a very, I think it came out the week of, or the week before 9/11, and so it got buried. They did all the promotions, and of course, out of respect for everybody, they pulled the timing was terrible.
All right, one last question for you, Tim. When someone comes up to you and asks for an autograph or a selfie, what's the role that you get most comments about? Is it Toy Story? Is it Galaxy Quest? Last Man Standing? Home Improvement? Santa Claus? What's the one that you get the most compliments about when a fan approaches you?
It's really startling to me. Did Last Man Standing for 9 years. Audiences are very different nowadays with network TV compared to the Home Improvement. There's no doubt. There's a whole generation of people from about 35 now to about 60 that grew up on Home Improvement because it got such a wide audience. So it's generally, literally 70% of the time it's going to be Home Improvement.
All right.
I got a question for you. Who's in the Super Bowl?
Who's in the Super Bowl? I think it's going to be Tampa Bay and Buffalo. That's what I think. I think Buffalo, if they can get their Tre'Davious White back healthy, their defense is better. I'll flip it on you, Tim. Who do you have in the Super Bowl?
Well, I'm you really got me. For some reason, I thought it was going to be the Cardinals and somebody. I can't think of the other. Who's going to be against the Cardinals? It just seems like the Cardinals, surprisingly, they keep doing it. I thought for besides, but I chickened out. I can't think of a team against them really.
No, the AFC is kind of a cluster of teams that look like they're going to be Super Bowl contenders one week and then lose to a team like the Jets the following week or something like that. So the AFC is kind of a mess. Actually, the NFC is a little bit of a mess too. We've been speaking with Tim Allen, actor, comedian, and I'm going to call him an icon. You can check him out, timallentour.com, for show dates and tickets, January 6th, 7th, and 8th in Florida, and in Vegas, February 4th and 5th at the Mirage. Tim, thanks so much for taking some time and celebrating the Lions' win here on the show with me.
Thanks, buddy. Appreciate your time.
Oh, my pleasure. Take care. That is Tim Allen, the man, the tool time, baby. More on the other side. I'm Dominic Jimenez. This is Tutor Lady Sports.